This is an ABC podcast.
Hello, welcome to The World Today. I'm Samantha Donovan. This Thursday, thousands of tourists trying to make their way out of the fire-ravaged regions as business operators start counting their losses. The Pope begins 2020 with an apology after being filmed slapping a worshipper. And the New South Wales Young Liberals say they want more action on climate change.
The bushfires are, I think, a sign of what is to come, and I think they should act as a catalyst for us to be thinking about what we can be doing now.
First today to some grim news from Victoria. The Premier, Daniel Andrews, says 17 people are now unaccounted for in the bushfires and there are significant fears for their welfare. He says the missing are from smaller communities in East Gippsland. One person has now been confirmed dead in Victoria in the fires and seven in New South Wales. In Mallacoota, in Victoria's far east, thousands of people are hoping they'll soon be evacuated by ship. After fleeing their homes on Monday night and preparing to jump into the water as the fires hit the town, they've been stranded along the coast with dwindling supplies and they're still affected by thick smoke. The HMAS Chules is anchored offshore, ready to take on the fire refugees. Reporter Elias Kluwer is there.
This naval vessel, the HMAS Chules, is anchored about a kilometre and a half off the shoreline. It can't get in because of the tide, so it's now working out a way in which people can leave the beach here safely. Now, they're trying to get people out via the water, but also the air, and choppers will also be used to get people off. But in terms of who will be taken, well, people don't know. A lot of tourists are frustrated with the lack of communication. They say they're completely in the dark as to how they're going to leave. They feel that if they can't get on a ship or a helicopter, they could be stuck here for several weeks. And given that they've been through an extraordinary time and a traumatic time, it would be fair to say, they're just eager and determined to get out of here.
Is it your understanding that people who are sick or perhaps young children will be taken out first?
We don't know. I've just spoken to some naval officers and, again, they themselves are not sure. So they're waiting for word from the higher-ups to see who will be taken. I should also mention a thick smoke haze has now descended on this town again due to a fire that was happening, that was burning just north of here. So that smoke haze is quite significant. You can feel it in your eyes and in your lungs. We've spoken to tourists who are really concerned about the air quality, especially for their young children. So you'd think that given the tide situation, the naval officers here will try and get people to the boat who have any health concerns as quickly as possible.
We understand from the authorities that they may actually be there for weeks. What sort of resources and help are they being provided with?
Yeah, so authorities have communicated that. Now, ESSO and the police have provided resources. We've just seen water come in here at the jetty and we're seeing food come in as well, also fuel. At the moment, the word is that they have enough to last about the town's population about 2 weeks. People here are confident that there will be enough supplies. The main concern here for people, though, is electricity and power, contacting their loved ones. There's generators at the local bakery and at the pub and at the service station as well. But of course, they've been used up by other people. It's hard to access them. Phone reception here is also quite bad. So I think the contact to the outside world is what people are most concerned about at the moment.
Elias Kluwer in Mallacoota. Melbourne man Charles Livingston is in his holiday home there with his family, including his 17-month-old son. He's hoping to get him out of town today on the ship. He spoke to me a short time ago and I asked him if he could see the vessel.
It's very hard to see anything at the moment. The smoke haze today is terrible. It's the worst it's been, actually, apart from the actual firestorm itself. So it's very hard to see anything through it. I think the visibility is down to less than 100 metres at the moment. But I understand the ship has arrived. I understand the ship has arrived and is unloading supplies. That's how we know it's here, because they're apparently unloading diesel and stuff at the moment.
Where are you sheltering at the moment?
All right, we were very fortunate. Our holiday house stayed up. The shed out the back and the neighbour's shed both went up. I think the fireys did a fantastic job in our little stretch, but across the road and around the corner from us, I think two-thirds of the houses have been destroyed. It's just like a bomb site around here. It looks like, you know, somebody's come around and just, you know, threw cluster bombs down everywhere, and there's houses flattened with this sheet metal lying on the ground. Some of them are still smouldering. The fireys have been around all night putting out little fires here and there and hosing down embers, etc. But it's a devastating scene, actually. It's quite heartbreaking. I think if you'd lost a home here, it would be, you know, I saw a chap down the street who just finished building his dream home and it was just flattened, and you know, he was in a terrible state, and I don't blame him. It's a shocking sight to see that.
You've got a little child aged under two. How is he coping with those smoky conditions?
Oh, look, he's not liking it terribly much. He gets a little bit coughy if you leave him out. I mean, we've basically trapped indoors today. I mean, everybody now is wearing P2 masks because the particulate concentration in the air is really, really bad. And we just not letting him out, so he's climbing the walls a bit, unfortunately. But look, he's a cheerful little fellow. He's when we were in the firestorm, he was a source of great inspiration to all who saw him. He's smiley and happy, and you know, you got to work at it to keep him occupied. But he's going well. It'd be good to get him out.
Yes, I bet. How much do you know about how the evacuation is going to be organised?
All right, so what I know from talking to bureaucrats and who I know, and from the Premier on the ABC this morning. He says they're organising it. They're trying to work out the logistics. They still haven't worked out what priority will be given to what class of person. So I think, you know, the likelihood is, from what we hear, that it will be those who are elderly, have breathing difficulties particularly, and the very young who are likely to be on the priority list. So hopefully that includes my little guy and his mum. And the Premier said that the people will be leaving today. The ship is still unloading, as I understand, and has a lot of stuff to get off. You know, fuel, bread, milk, water supplies, etc. And, you know, pharmaceutical supplies. So that may take some time, but I expect that we will be hearing this afternoon about what the arrangements are, and hopefully that will make it clearer then.
Charles Livingston speaking to me from his Mallacoota holiday home. There are long queues along roads on the south coast of New South Wales as thousands try to leave the area ahead of dangerous bushfire conditions this weekend. The mass exodus began after authorities declared a tourist leave zone for an almost 200-kilometre stretch of coastline to the Victorian border. Large sections of the Princes Highway have now reopened, but getting out of the area is still proving incredibly difficult for some. Our reporter Gavin Coote is at Ulla Dulla on the south coast. Gavin, can you tell us a little bit more about what this term tourist leave zone actually means?
Well, Sam, it's a pretty uncommon sort of measure that the authorities have taken. Because this is such a popular holiday spot, and some people have persisted in staying through the ongoing fire conditions this week, they don't want to take any chances this weekend. And of course, they're predicting same or worse conditions this weekend than we saw on New Year's Eve, which were absolutely ferocious. And given the kind of strain that will put on the natural environment and towns, and that the life endangering aspect, they don't want to be having to worry about tourists as well as locals trying to save lives and property. So even though those conditions are expected probably for another 48 hours, it won't happen. They're urging people to get out as soon as possible. If you don't live here, if you've got no need to be here, get out of the area. And that tourist leave zone covers an area all the way from Batemans Bay, about midway up the south coast, down to the Victorian border and inland for about 100 kilometres. And it is proving difficult to get out of areas, even though the Princes Highway has opened in many sections. There are other parts, access roads, that are still restricted access. So we've seen police escorts where 20 or 30 people are allowed out of a time, out of places like Lake Conjola and Sussex Inlet. So really trying to manage that situation and get people out well ahead of Saturday.
From what you're seeing, are most tourists heeding these warnings?
Well, I'm in Ulla Dulla, and that's a little bit up from Batemans Bay, where that was kind of the opened access point earlier today. Ulla Dulla had also been cut off from access, and if this is any indication where I am now, it's just complete gridlock all the way through town, over to the next town, Milton, and all the way down in Batemans Bay, further up at Nowra. It's just complete gridlock, and I've just driven about 30 kilometres where it's been almost bumper to bumper at a standstill. So if that's any indication, it appears people are really getting out as soon as possible. We're talking thousands of people with boats and caravans. And of course, given, the fuel shortages, that's been easier said than done for some. So many have been waiting back in bigger centres like Batemans Bay and here in Ulla Dulla, waiting to fill up fuel because petrol stations have been running short. We've seen even in places like Batemans Bay, they've been imposing a $60 fuel limit to ensure that they can ration their current supplies amongst those who need it. I ran into Jo, she's been at Depot Beach. That's just 30 kilometres south of here at Ulla Dulla. And she's been caught up in this gridlock. It's taken about 3 or 4 hours to move that 30-odd Ks.
It's been the first day that we've finally been able to go. The road's open, so let's try.
Pretty steady crawl, I imagine.
It is. It's been a bit... We left around 7, so we haven't gone very far.
How are you doing for fuel?
We managed to get some diesel. We pulled into a diesel place, and I think they'd just got a delivery, so that was really lucky. And we were running out of food as well, so we decided we'd go.
And have you been planning to stick around before that warning came out from the New South Wales Rural Fire Service to get out before the weekend?
Well, we would have stayed if we didn't have the two grandchildren with us, for sure. Because Depot Beach now, the fire's already gone through. Even though there were fires sparking up all over the place, you could see the smoke all over the place, we thought we were in the safest place along the coast. But we couldn't even see the beach, and we live only 50 metres to the beach.
Tourist Joe speaking to our reporter Gavin Coote there. The Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, has addressed the bushfire situation at a media conference in Sydney. He's asked for tourists trying to get out of the affected areas to keep calm.
I would continue to just ask people to be patient. I know you can have kids in the car and there's anxiety and there's stress and the traffic is not moving quickly. But the best thing to do, the best thing that helps those out there volunteering, out there trying to restore some order to these situations, is for everyone just to be patient.
The Prime Minister was speaking shortly after attending the funeral of the New South Wales volunteer firefighter, Geoffrey Keaton. The Prime Minister paid tribute to him and two other firefighters who've lost their lives.
It was important to be able to honour his great sacrifice and his tremendous service. Sadly, we'll be attending two more of these services in the not too distant future. It was also tremendous to be there with the men and women of the Horsley Park Rural Fire Service Brigade as they provided their guard of honour for their mate. And so from all of the nation to Jess and the family, we extend our deepest sympathies.
The Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, speaking in Sydney. Returning to Victoria now, and for the communities that rely on tourism, this disaster is having a severe economic impact. One of those towns is Lakes Entrance in East Gippsland, which at this time of year is usually full of summer holidaymakers, but not this year, with authorities warning tourists to stay away. David Sparks is there.
I'm standing here at the Lakes Entrance Tourist Park. It would usually, at this time of year, be absolutely bustling with people enjoying their summer holidays. Right now it is anything but. It's extremely quiet here. And over everything is this really thick shroud of smoke. It's anything but the postcard summer image that we would have of Lakes Entrance. I'm here with Nancy Wiedemann, who runs this caravan park. Nancy, what's happened?
A huge interruption to our normal business at this time of year. Normally we would be probably 100% capacity. And yes, we have a couple of them that have chosen to stay on, but the casual stays, they just felt, especially if they had young children, that it was just not safe to stay. And then, of course, bookings that have not arrived. Just either the roads were blocked, they couldn't get in, even if they wanted to, but the phone calls in the last few days, it's slowed down now, but a few days ago the phone just didn't stop with people ringing to say, what should we do? You know, should we come? Should we leave? Yeah, very difficult.
Well, now I'm down on the main street going through Lakes Entrance. There's a few cars coming by, but it is pretty quiet. Let's start with the local bakery, Lakes Pies, see how they're going. What's it normally like on this day in this time of the summer?
Absolutely crazy. We're like not walking around, we're running around trying to serve all the customers and stuff like that, and now we're struggling to find things to do because there's just no one here.
All right, well, it is summer, so next I think I'll go into the local surf shop, see if they're getting many customers in there. G'day, what's your name?
Phil McEntee. This is the surf shack in Lakes Entrance.
So a surf shop this time of year. Tell me how busy it usually is.
Yeah, look, it's usually pretty crazy this time of year. The town's full of people. Our shop's usually full of people spending. This year, obviously, it's been pretty devastating for local businesses.
And you normally do surf lessons. You've had to cancel those, have you?
Yes, we have had to cancel all our lessons here. Cape Conran and Mallacoota. We have another store in Mallacoota that's obviously been devastated as well. So, yeah, this will really hit our business hard.
How heavily do you rely on this time of year to make sure that your entire yearly income is something that is suitable?
Yep. Well, look, our shop in Mallacoota this 4 weeks would probably make up possibly more than half our yearly income, and look, it'd be getting close to that in the area here in Lakes Entrance as well.
Wow, so what does this mean for you personally then?
Look, it's going to be very hard times. I was up early this morning just looking at all the bills we had to pay, being the start of the year and end of the month, and it's going to have a huge impact on us.
And I suspect other small business people around here will be in the same situation.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, look, the town has already been struggling a bit. I think all small towns with retail businesses have struggled. And look, this for some businesses, this may be the nail in the coffin. We've already had a lot of shops in Lakes Entrance close in the last 12 months, and this definitely isn't going to help things.
Lakes Entrance surf shop owner Phil McEntee speaking to David Sparks. Yesterday, Australia's capital experienced the worst air quality in its history, and it's a bleak forecast for Canberrans for the rest of the week, with the heavy haze predicted to stick around. Our reporter Claudia Long is in Parliament House. Claudia, what is the air quality like right now in Canberra?
Well, Sam, not good is a bit of an understatement, really. Currently, according to IQAir's city air quality ranking, Canberra is the most polluted major city in the world right now. And ACT Health say air quality is at hazardous extreme levels. To give you a bit of an idea of what that means, that's the highest pollution rating you can get. And it's based on their monitoring of the levels of fine particles in the air that are known as PM2.5. Now, currently, Canberra's PM2.5 rating is 591.24, and that's well above the 250 concentration considered extreme. And look, you can definitely feel it. The smoke seems to have worked its way into most buildings and homes here, including Parliament House. And it's so thick outside, you can't really see from one side of Lake Burley-Griffin to the other.
Well, it must be having a big effect on day-to-day life in the capital. What are people doing?
Well, one thing Canberrans will probably notice from today is a suspension in deliveries from Australia Post. That's because they want to protect posties from working in this hazardous environment, and they're yet to confirm exactly when they'll be resuming business as normal. So if you weren't able to find a smoke mask, for instance, on the shelves here in Canberra, it looks like ordering one from elsewhere is also going to be a bit tricky. And smoke masks seem to have been in short supply here as well, with a number of shops selling out of the P2 masks that you need to protect yourself from this kind of smoke. On top of that, Canberra Health Services say they've confirmed some of their machines have been impacted by the smoke as well. Specifically, that's some, but luckily not all, of the MRI machines at Canberra Hospital that have been impacted, and they're still trying to get to the bottom of just how many, Sam. And unfortunately, it doesn't seem like things are looking up in terms of air quality. The haze is forecast to hang around for a while, and while conditions are expected to ease a little, it looks like we could be back to hazardous conditions once again later in the week, Sam.
Claudia Long reporting from Parliament House. This is The World Today. You can find us on the ABC Listen app or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. The New South Wales Young Liberals are calling for Australia to do more to tackle climate change. The Prime Minister has been digging in his heels on the issue and insisting his government's current policies are effective. But the younger Libs say it's a problem that will affect their future. Political reporter Alexandra Beach has more.
As bushfires ravage large parts of their state, climate change is on the mind of the New South Wales Young Liberals.
It's our generation that will be facing the increasing risks of climate change in the future. So from our point of view, we see it as an issue of intergenerational equity because it's the actions of today that have an effect on the future.
Sheneg Torres is the New South Wales Young Liberal President. He says at their December meeting, the governing body voted unanimously to push for an overhaul of Australia's climate policies.
We don't have to choose between a strong economy and action on climate change. We believe that the market is quite naturally moving towards more efficient renewable technology.
To transition the economy towards reliance on cleaner energy, they'd like to see policies to encourage private enterprise to invest in affordable renewable technologies and to incentivise businesses to lower their emissions. They're also pushing for solar panel rebates for households. The calls put them at odds with the Prime Minister Scott Morrison, who has repeatedly said current policies are working and Australia's on track to meet its global emissions targets.
The Young Liberal movement obviously fully supports the Prime Minister, and we think that he's doing a really good job at the moment. We think that he's doing his best. But this is a very difficult issue politically. I think that this debate has been very divisive in our country and in our community. But we just want to, I guess, encourage the government to be thinking about the future generations.
Mr. Torres says this shouldn't be a left-wing versus right-wing debate, and attempts to blame the government's policies for the current bushfires are unfair. But he says the fires are a good reminder of the problem at hand.
The bushfires are, I think, a sign of what is to come, and I think they should act as a catalyst for us to be thinking about what we can be doing now.
The New South Wales Young Liberals are now working on more detailed policies to present to the state and federal environment and energy ministers. The World Today has approached Federal Energy Minister Angus Taylor's office for a comment, but has not heard back.
Alexandra Beach reporting. Overseas now, and the Pope has been forced to apologise after he was filmed slapping a woman's hand away when he was meeting pilgrims at the Vatican on New Year's Eve. He's admitted he lost his patience. It's not the first time he's been seen pulling his hands away from the faithful, but one Catholic Church historian thinks his actions show he's only human. Isabel Rowe has the story.
People travel from all over the world to touch the hand of the Pope. But as he greeted eager crowds at the Vatican's nativity scene on New Year's Eve, Pope Francis lost his cool. News cameras show a woman reaching for Pope Francis as he turned away, grabbing his hand in an attempt to have him speak to her. But he smacked her hand and walked off, leaving the woman visibly upset. It was a lapse of judgment, according to the Pope, who later apologised.
Love makes us patient. So many times we lose patience, even me, and I apologise for yesterday's bad example.
In some fortuitous timing, the day after the incident in St Peter's Square, the Pope's New Year's Day address denounced violence against women.
Le donne sono fonti di vita.
Women are sources of life, yet they are continually offended, beaten, raped, induced to prostitute themselves and to suppress the life they carry in their womb. All violence inflicted on women is a desecration of God.
Catholic academic and historian Paul Collins thinks the Pope's supporters won't be put off by the hand-smacking incident.
Well, in some ways, my reaction is kind of positive, because it proves he's a human being. It proves that he's got faults. It proves that he's not like some previous popes who thought they were either God or very close to God. So what I like about him is, of course, it shows him to be very human.
Do you think that it tarnishes his image at all?
I think for those Catholics who oppose him, and there are many, many people within the church, they will use it as a way of attacking him again. They'll say He's just not perfect. He's just not up to it. He really shouldn't be Pope.
Pope Francis has brushed away pilgrims before, in Italy in March, as throngs of people lined up for the centuries-old Catholic tradition of kissing the papal ring. The Pope was filmed pulling his hand away from people. A spokesman for the church later said it was to prevent the spread of germs.
Isabel Rowe reporting. And that's the world today for this Thursday. We'll be back at the same time tomorrow with more stories from across Australia and around the world. I'm Samantha Donovan. Have a good afternoon.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.